morning. We're going to learn Halacha Beis today. Before we do, let me just give a drop of an introduction before we get to what we're really going to talk about. If you look through the Darkei Tshuva on these first few halachas about bugs and water, you see that these shailas that about bugs and water was very halacha l'maisa. And the people had bugs in their water all over the place. Right? You see just some how many people are talking about it, and it was a very for real shaila. For us, these shailas are very theoretical, because the way modern plumbing works, but we don't see bugs in our water. And we don't have that shaila. And so these first halachas were very theoretical, till about 7 years ago, there was a person who had bought, I think it was Gush Katif lettuce, supposed to be bug-free. He washed it, and he was checking the water after he washed it, and lo and behold, he kept finding bugs. As much as he washed it, he couldn't. He washed and washed and washed. Every time he washed, he kept finding more bugs. So he called up the company and he says to them, "Mapaton, why do I keep finding bugs? And I wash, they keep coming. I can't get rid of them. No matter what I do, I can't get rid of the bugs." So they looked into it and they said, "Lo and behold, the bugs are not in our lettuce. The bugs are in your water. So every time you wash it, you're putting more bugs into your water. It's not the lettuce that has anything wrong with it. Those bugs that you're finding are not lettuce bugs. They're water bugs." And what it turns out is that in the United States, and probably in most civilized places, all municipalities have to filter their water. Okay, in America, there's a handful of places that have an exception to that. They're allowed to not filter their water. And one of those is New York City. Their water is so pure that they're excused from filtering their water. And lo and behold, they themselves admit, they're the EPA, the people who take care of their water supply, will tell you that they have these little bugs, which they call copepods, and cause, quite, as you can imagine, quite a stir in New York. It would have been bad enough if it was in, you know, Boulder, Colorado, but it was right in the middle of a big Jewish community, and it caused quite a to-do. Okay, so there's, all of a sudden, as one of the people said, they started, you know, dusting off the Shulchan Aruch to look at these first few halachas again that nobody paid much attention to. They started looking into it. There's quite a whole to-do about it. Now, it came out, I'm going to give you the short version of what happened, is that many prominent poskim said, people who live in New York should filter their water to avoid these bugs. Many people said that. And there were three possible reasons given to why it might be mutter to drink the water. Okay? Now, because this year is Gosfal Shulchan Aruch, we're going to deal with one of those possibilities right now, which is an Halacha Beis. One of the possibilities to say it's mutter is an Halacha Beis. You should know, but in order to say that, in order to talk about it, we're going to assume that the other two things are not true. One is that the bugs are big enough to be visible, and the second is that they're common enough to be considered a mean hamotzer. They're common enough that you have to get rid of them. Okay, those two points are very debatable. Okay, we're not going to get to those till halacha vav and halacha tes, respectively. But that those two points are very debatable. So what we're going to talk now, and you might walk away with the impression at the end of the day today and say, "Oh, so the bugs are usher. The bugs in those copepods are usher." That might be your impression when you walk away from it. But you should just know that we're because of the fallacy, because we're following the order of Shulchan Aruch, we're dealing with that shaila now, because this is the place for it. But the other two parts of it, so don't fall asleep now. You have to wait till then to find out what there's much more to the shaila when we get to it. Okay? I have to tell you, drop it back, and then we'll get to the Shulchan Aruch. Drop back in about the shaila itself, and we'll get to the Shulchan Aruch. And before that, I have to tell you, the person who knows by far the most about it, all of this, is someone named Rabbi Yaakov Lach. Lach, that's his name.
Is that a joke or something?
No, it's not a joke. Okay. It's not a joke. And he was looking into it, and eventually the OU hired him to spend time researching it. He wrote more than one paper about what he found over there. And
he's from New York?
He was in New York, yes. He knows more than anybody else, literally more than anybody else in the world. If anybody who's thought about it knows what Rabbi Lach says, or else they missed the boat. Everybody, he knows everything. Okay? So a lot of our technical information, a lot of our halachic information is going to come from him. I've spoken to him a number of times in the past bunch of weeks. We know each other well. Okay, so now, what we're going to focus on is the New York City water system. It's just absolutely a huge water system. It has a lot of reservoirs, what they call upstate, more north from the city. We're going to focus on one reservoir. It's called the Kensico Reservoir, which that reservoir is where basically all the water comes to before it gets to the people's sinks. Okay, from all that places, it eventually feeds to this place, and that's the place where these copepods form. Okay, in this Kensico Reservoir, this Kensico Reservoir, to know what it is, used to be called the Kensico Lake. It was this cute little lake. okay, a little pond, a little lake over there, and they built a dam.
To remain on this call, press 1.
They built,
bring you to the conference room.
They built a dam on one side. It's about 1,800 feet long and 300 feet high. And all the other sides, there was walls of it, so to speak, you know, mountains or whatever it is to keep it in, that by closing off one side, all of a sudden this little lake, which was fed by different streams, this little lake didn't have any outlet to it anymore. Okay, so it started building up behind the dam. It would have never filled up the whole dam. Never, I mean, it would take, according to his cheshbon, 10 years for it to have filled up that whole dam. But then all of a sudden they opened up the connection to the upstate dams, and all of a sudden this thing filled up. Okay, and now it's got an absolutely huge amount of water in it. But there used to be this little lake. They closed it up by building a wall on the one open side that there was, and now the lake stopped flowing out. It used to flow out somewhere. And then they pumped and let all this other water flow in, and now they got this huge dam up there that's this absolutely huge lake. Well, it looks like a huge lake. So it's not a natural lake, really. It used to be this cute little lake, and now it became this absolutely huge water lake. Okay. Okay. Two of his little points. Sorry, I keep giving you introductions. Two of his little points before we get to the Shahar. We're going to assume that all the water in New York passes, all the water that people drink passes through Kensico. It's not perfectly true. There are some parts of New York that don't use Kensico at all. They use some other ways to get to it. And once in a while, the city, for their own purposes, does not give the people the water from Kensico. They bypass it. They have other ways to get it. Those things complicate the child, but we're going to ignore that for now. We're going to ignore that. And also, I have to tell you that the copepods all die as they leave Kensico. They get chlorinated as they leave Kensico. All the copepods are dead when they leave Kensico. Okay, so we're going to work with those assumptions and move on. Okay, let's learn halacha base. In halacha aleph, we saw that if bugs that are in yamim and ucholim, in lakes and rivers, that the water has them noivim, the water, they have a spring that feeds them, and the moisture and the water flows in them, out from them, or it moves in them. Those are usher. Things that are in a bar or on a keli, those bugs are mutter because they're not noivim and they're not mushroom. They have no feed coming into them. They're not flowing anyplace. Those bugs are mutter. Okay. Halacha base. Hagederon b'mayim shebecharitzim itzim. Now we have this middle case. What happens? We said. Listen to the two extremes we had. We had yam u'necholim that have noivim and mushroom. We had boris. And Kalim had not noivim and not moshchem. Okay, now our deal is, what's about the middle case? What happens in the middle case, which is, hagedelim b'mayim shebecharitzim itzim, bugs that grow in the Ramon, these little words explained, charitzim are aruchim u'ktarim, they're long or short, meaning they're like canals, when the itzim are aruchim k'mo eretz she'oslim bibrei dugim, we're going to get to bibrim in a second, it's like these pools, shehei moshchem ve'inim noivim, the water flows, or moves, but it does not have any spring feeding it. Okay, it's half. It's not Yam Lecham had both. Boris and Kalim had neither. And this one has one. Okay, it's not Nervin, but it is Moshim. So what's the din? Yesh Oysim Vyesh Matir. This is Machlokas. What the din is? Okay, it's a Machlokas in the Gemara. This is a Machlokas we should have had on Sin the Gemara. Machlokas had a Pas in the Gemara. So there's two Jetas. Yesh Oysim Vyesh Matir. Whether these Charitzin and Itzin should be Osirumot. Okay? What's it in? The Prichodesh says you could be Makel, okay? But most Poskim follow the Shach. The Shach brings from a whole bunch of other Poskim that you should be Machmir v'Charitzim Yitzim. Okay, the Machab wrote 2 days, Yesh Oysim v'Yesh Matir. So the Prichodesh says to be Makel, but most people say at the Shach that you should be Machmir, that Charitz, that bug, insects that grow in Charitzim Yitzim are awesome. So now, in order to decide, now we heard all three cases. We have Yam and Cholam are awesome. We have Boris and Kalim are Mutter. Charitzim and Itzim, we're going to say, are also Osir. Okay, that's the middle case, we'll say that's also Osir. So now, in order to judge, for purposes of this halacha, to judge this Kensico Dam, excuse me, the Kensico Reservoir, we need to see, does it qualify for Noivim? Does it qualify for Moshim? Okay, that's what we have to decide is. And because of that, you're going to see there's going to be three different sheets as to how to classify a bug that grows in that reservoir, which is those bugs. Their copepods grow in that reservoir. So there's three different ways to understand how to classify that reservoir. Okay. First child is, should we treat the reservoir as noivim? Should we say that it's fed by a spring? So, Rabbi Feinstein said, Lemaise is, I told you that the Kensico Lake, 100 years ago, however long, whenever they built this dam, has 8 streams, at least, that feed this lake. Those 8 streams are still existing. They're still there. They're still feeding that lake. And Mamela, he says, this is Mervin. It has a spring that feeds it. It comes, it's the water, this water that's in there is fed by a spring. He says, now, it's fed by a spring and by non-spring water. Okay, this is a different kind about it. Different Sanzerov, who says that if you have a body of water that's half fed by springs and half fed by not springs, then that has the din of being a spring. That is the din of considered Yam Hulchom, it's considered a Yam. It's considered a So, different kind doesn't say what his case is talking about. Okay, so David says, in this case, it has water fed by springs. As you're trying to imply, one reason to argue on it is the springs give the erich 2% of the water that comes into this thing. So it used to be
now.
Nowadays, now. It used to be if a boat would have been formed in the lake 100 years ago, it would be noivim because it's fed by a spring water. Oh no, it rains into it also, but it's fed by a spring. But now, if you come to that, it's hard to say that it's fed by the spring, because the spring is nothing. The spring is a joke compared to what's going on with this thing. He calculated it would take 3,000 days, because it's 9 or 10 years, it would take 3,000 days for the spring to fill up this lake. I mean, the spring is doing nothing. The water that's coming in is coming from these huge sets of water coming from elsewhere. It's not coming from the spring. The spring is not what's filling it up. So it's hard to... Where's the water come from? Where it comes from originally? It's coming from other reservoirs that are. So the question is, to say that it's considered noivim because of the springs that are there is hard to justify. It's hard to say that because of those springs that makes it to be noivim when those springs are basically doing nothing. I mean, as far as we were treated, they're doing nothing. There is a spring, but the spring has no meaning. Basically, has no meaning. What would seem to be the stronger reason to think that it should be noivim is because what feeds it? These two huge, what they call aqueducts, because these two absolutely huge, you call them pipes if you want them, but two huge aqueducts connect to these, I think, 7 reservoirs upstate. Okay? Those reservoirs, all of them or most of them qualify as noivim. Okay? They have springs that feed them. Okay? They're being fed by springs. The connection between upstate and Kensico is completely gravity fed. There's no person involved in it. But someone dug out a big tunnel, a huge, if you want to call it a pipe, a big aqueduct. It's not a pipe above the ground. It's underground. It's 100 feet underground. Okay, you know, safe from the terrorists. I mean, it's deep, deep, deep under the ground. It's this. So really, what it is? It really, if you want to look at it, the argument is you have 7 yamim, okay, upstate. There are 7 yamim fed by nechalim. Okay, they have these streams that take the water from there, take the nechalim to a new yam. Okay, it's like saying in Eretz Yisrael, not exactly a dogma, but you have the Yarden feeds the Kinneret, and the Kinneret which then feeds the Yam HaMelech. So it's not even because the Noivim water... What?
The other way.
It's the other way?
No, it's not. The Kinneret's further north than the Yarden.
Right. The Yarden starts even... Okay, there are springs that are above the Kinneret. Right. They feed this, and then that Yam... No, the Kinneret happens to have its own springs in it. So I'm pretending that. I'm just using it as a dogma. There's a spring feeding a lake. That lake feeds a Nechalim, a river, and then that river spills into another body of water. So what's the deal with that bottom body of water? It's true that those aqueducts can be closed. Not only can they be closed, the aqueducts are closed. Okay? They're closed once in a while because they need to be closed, like they want them to be closed, and they close them sometimes just for practice. I mean, they don't want these doors that could close them to get rusty or stuck in their place. They don't want things to grow on them, v'chahina. So sometimes they close it just for the purpose of saying, we're going to close it once in a while. Okay? They close it just to keep them in working order. So you can argue that it's really a man-made connection between the upstate and the downstate. It's as if a guy, what would happen if I took a bucket out from the one from Lake Michigan and poured it into a container? You wouldn't say that container is a yam. Because a guy took it out by hand into this thing, that's the end of the connection to the noivim. Okay, you could say that, and that's an argument. You say it's not noivim because the spring naturally feeds the upstate reservoirs, but the connection to downstate is a human controlled thing, and that's not considered to be noivim. L'chayra, you could say that. I mean, and that's how those who will treat it like that will say. But the lamais is, if you look at this thing, look at the big picture. Don't look at the little detail. Look at the big picture. What do you see? You see springs feeding the lake. The lake feeding what two huge rivers that come down to feed this other thing. So the fact that there's a person who could control it in between, there's a person, you know, they can stop Niagara Falls also. Right? There are people who could, they could stop Niagara Falls and they need to do repairs, and it has to do with the water. They divert water to make a...
You made on this call. Returning to the conference room.
They could control it also, but nobody thinks that the water there is not... It's not noisy, you know. It's okay. We'll get back to the Niagara Falls. We know we have another one, another point about that. Okay. So anyhow, so that's a question. So that's the question whether you should treat the water as noisy. Okay. The two possible arguments are either because it has its own springs. That seems to be a weaker argument. That it has its own springs. The stronger argument seems to be that it has spring. The etzem, what feeds it, are things, springs that feed other lakes, which then flow basically naturally into this. Okay, the second challenge is, should we treat the reservoir as moisture? Okay, when there's two things that you have to have in order to qualify as, it has to be nourishment and moisture. What's nourishment? It has to flow. Okay, now, this reservoir has no natural outlet. The upstate reservoirs do. This one has no natural outlet, meaning there's no way for water cannot get out. It could be water can overflow on the top. Sometimes they get too much water and it spills over the top. But basically, the water has no place to go. Okay, it's closed off. There used to be, I told you, the little lake used to feed into a river. That doesn't exist anymore. So, Rybelski says, that water has no, it's not going anyplace. The only way to get it out is for a person to open up the floodgates and let water out into the city pipes. Okay, so if you have water that a person has to let it out, a person has to take it out, that's what a bar is. A bar is a big pit, a big swimming pool. If you want to get the water out, you've got to scoop it out and get the water out. So here, the only way to get the water out is for someone to let it out. Okay? The water doesn't come out by itself. Okay? So therefore, he says this water doesn't qualify as much. Okay? Because it's not going anyplace. Okay? There's three reasons to argue on that point of why he's calling it not much.
So if it's a bar, then it will be more kulodic.
If it's a bar, then bugs that are born in our mutter. They're completely mutter. Okay? So,
he would say, theoretically, if the animal had life, had...
No.
He would say that's actually mushrooming.
It has water flows out of it. The animal. No, we're getting to the animal. Oh, the animal. We're getting to that. I'm going to get that. We'll get to that. That's the third point. We're getting to that. Okay, so there's three reasons to question this point that Rybelski's made. One is, if you look at the Kensico Dam, Kensico Reservoir, you see no outlet to this water. You see this big swimming pool, a huge swimming pool with no outlet of water. But that's only because you're looking at the top of the water. If you look underneath, you would see that there are these huge pipes coming out of this thing, coming out from the middle of it. Out of the reservoir flows more than 1 billion gallons of water every single day. Okay, so the amount of water that flows out there is approximately the same amount of water that flows over Niagara Falls every day. That's how much water is coming out of it. It's 5 times as much water as coming out of going down the Hudson River. So imagine if you stood in Cleveland and you looked at Lake Erie and you said, this place, water has no place to go. There's no place for the water to go. It's standing, it's not going anyplace. Look, it seems to be a closed river. You didn't know, but if you go to the other end of the river, it goes over Niagara Falls. But if you go to the other end of Lake Erie, when you're standing in Michigan, you don't see it. In Cleveland, you don't see it. But if you go to the other end, you would see it. So you're going to say that the water is not considered to be moisture because there's no outlet of this thing. There's a huge outlet. There's Niagara Falls coming out of this thing on what you just don't see that's happening underwater. Okay, so the argument to that is that that's controlled by people. But as I said, but again, when you look at the overall picture, is that 99% of the time there's water flowing through this thing. And it's true there's more than one opening, and those openings are open and closed at different times. So that's the question here. Should we say that it open and close at different times should make that not be considered? But to say that there's no outlet is hard. You can't say there's no outlet. There's 1 billion gallons of water flowing out every day. Okay, the second thing is, the Ravid says, now, the Sefra, a lot of the Gemara that this is based on is all in the Sefra also. And the Ravid talks about a case which the Ramah hinted at. The Ramah, whoever wrote the little words, the Ramah, those words is hinting at it, is something called Bibrim. Okay, what are Bibrim? For those of you who like pictures, this is a Bibrim. Okay? Bibrim are, you have a river flowing, you want to go fishing. Not only do you want to go fishing, but you want to keep your fish fresh until you're ready to eat them. So what you do is, there's a river, and you divert from the river to, you make like a little pool next to the river, and you divert water from the river into this pool, and you close off the end, so the water can't flow out. And then what you do is, so now you have this little pool, it's a shallow little pool, and some fish from the river are in there. So they're sitting there waiting for you to eat them. Okay, they're sitting there, easy to catch, staying alive and fresh, and when you're ready for supper, you send one of the kids outside, pick up a fish from the beaver, and bring it inside, you have a fresh fish to eat. Okay, you don't have to refrigerate it, it's ready to go as soon as you want. When you're finished, what do you do?
Beaver is what language?
It's English?
Hebrew. No, Hebrew. When you're finished with it, ain't something dug them in a beaver. Again, so when you're finished with the water, you got all the fish out of it that you want, you open up the outlet, the rest of the water flows out, you have an empty beaver, you start again. Okay, you let new water in, you have some new fish, and you do your fishing in there. Okay. So the Ravid says that bibrim qualify as moshkin. These bibrim qualify as moshkin. Now the bibrim is never flows. The bibrim flows. I'll make it up. Once a day, somebody opens up the end. Once a week, they open up the end and let it out. It's completely controlled by people. But the bibrim, it's a small little pool of water, and it's controlled by people to let that water flow out. So, and the Ravid says that's considered mushroom because they flow out. When you're finished with it, the water flows out the other end. You open up the outlet, and the water flows back into the river. So, so they bring this as a raya. That's considered mushroom. Dharamat. So hints at it. I mean, he says that the itzin means libibri hayam. Okay, that's what the Ravid says. He's hinting at that. So, Rebelsky actually said that this, of all the tainas against him, he thought this was a valid, there was merit to this taina. Rebelsky's answer to that was, he said that over here, there's a difference between bibrim and reservoir. He said the difference is that the bibrim, the water, when you let it out, the water that's in the bibrim is only temporarily in the beaver. The water is really flowing in the river. Temporarily, you took it out, and when you're finished, you're going to let it go back to the river. You're going to let back into the flow of the river. So this water is moving water that's temporarily on the side. It's heading back to where it came from, to its flowingness, and therefore that's why it's considered motion. As opposed to the water that's in the reservoir, that water's finished. The water used to be flowing around through rivers and streams, and now it's gotten to its place. It's delivered to the plane, and now whoever wants to use it is now going to scoop out some water to make their chant with that water. The water
is the beaver is never going to open it again.
No, you do. That's the idea is you take water in, catch your fish. Now there's no fish left. You let the water back to the ocean, back to the river, and get a fresh water. It's a temporary.
Where's the love of beaver? It's mentioned
here. Well, the Ramah, in the words of he describes when he eats it as beaver. He describes it as beaver, but the sephra.
Yeah.
The sephra, it's not clear that he means exact, but that's what people are. You know what people are. But the sephra, when it's talking about this din, brings it to Bibram and says, and they have that din. The Ravid in this
story. It describes that the Bibram is dafka because he let it out eventually.
This part that Rabbi is saying that the reason why the Bibram is considered Moishim is because they're going back to where they came from, mm-hmm. and they're continuing to flow back to Rabbi Sisko. It doesn't mean any Makar.
I said, no, but the Bibram, that's the mysterious of Bibram, the dafka, they do go back to the same place.
He doesn't say that, but that's because Rabbi himself brings it from a bunch of Gemara. That's what Bibram are. It's a fishing method. It's a way of fishing, like you just said. In Tzadim Dugman Abibram. It was in the Hilchos Shabbos. That's what Bibram are. That's just what it means. It's like this little pool. Now, Rebelsky is saying about a Chiddush that he doesn't bring a Makar to it. He's saying the only reason why the Bibram are considered to be Moshlin, and why the Ravid says it, is because they're going back to where the flow that they were in. But were they to be going to a place where they were in their final destination, they're in the place where people are going to use them, that's a bar, that's not a Bibram. Okay, that's actually, he doesn't bring it right to it. Since it's going back to the same place, correct. It's not finished. It's not at its final resting place.
Temporary resting.
It's a temporary place. Where it is, and it's heading back to
it's something else.
It's finished. It will never flow again. It's water that's come to its use. It's come to the place where now people
open the sinks and
you'll open up the sink and make your chunk out of it. In other words, he's looking at the fact that you open the sink is just a way of scooping water out of there. It's come to its place. It's ready for use. It's available for people to take water.
That's the one in New York City opens up its sink. That's
right. He's taking water. He's instead of sending somebody up with a bucket, he's opening the sink to get the water out of there to use to make his soup. But the water is finished running. It's not
flowing. The water in there is already filtered and everything. You could take a scoop and drink it, or you still need.
They don't do anything to it. No, they just chlorinate.
I could go in there and dig.
To remain on this call, press turning to the conference room.
It's a potato out and drink. It's ready. It's like my.
Yes, yeah, I don't know. Yes, they. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Now, the last question.
Tell me, the water in the reservoir is treated already?
They don't nothing to treat. They just put chlorine in it on its way out. They put chlorine in it.
There's no chlorine in the reservoir.
The reservoir has fish and everything. It's a functional. It's like a lake. If you walk past it, you would think you're walking past Lake Michigan.
And you could drink that water.
Just like you could drink Lake Michigan water. I mean, it's whatever you want to do.
You can do anything you want. It's not it's not the same quality as New York City water.
Okay. The last question to ask on him is what David said before him, which is. He, on Ragelsky's way of looking that these water is not considered motion, is the question is that he's translating, he seems to be translating motion as flowing water, okay? And it would seem that the translation of the word motion was not flowing, but moving. Okay, why do I say that? The Torah describes certain yamim, okay? There's a number of yamim in the Torah, one of them being Yam HaMelech, okay? Yam HaMelech, I don't know about all the other ones, but Yam HaMelech, we know, has no outlet of water, right? It's the lowest place on earth. There's no outlet from the Yam HaMelech. It's the end. That's the end of the line. And the water doesn't go past there. Yet it's called a Yam, because in order to be a Yam, the Gemara says it has to be Noiv and Moshlim. Why is it Moshlim? Where's the water flowing to from the Yam HaMelech? It doesn't go anyplace. The answer is, it seems that the word Moshlim doesn't mean to flow, it means to move. Meaning, if I have a little container of water, the water basically stands still.
Right.
Okay, if I have a bucket, I have even a small swimming pool, the water stays still. When the body of water gets big enough, the water moves. Okay, and
where's it moving to?
It flows back and forth. If you go,
it never floods up. If it doesn't have anywhere to go at the end, why doesn't it always flood over if the water is flowing into it?
Because they're sucking out a billion gallons of water every day to give to people to drink. Why doesn't the Yam HaMelech overflow? I have no idea. I have no idea. I don't know why it doesn't overflow. But it doesn't go any place. There's no place to go.
So why wouldn't it overflow?
I thought it circles around.
Evaporation, right?
I don't know. So the question is that it would seem that to be moshkin, it has to be moving water. The opposite is what the maybe it's even in Sephardim, I don't remember, maybe the Gemara says Atsurim. The opposite is standing still. Okay. Like, don't move any place. Okay, Moshkin doesn't mean, seemingly doesn't mean flowing, but means moving. So once the body of water gets big enough, it sloshes back and forth. And it goes, the tide goes up and that, what?
The winds.
And the winds, or whatever it is, it has this thing. And what is, and Kensico does exactly that. It's this huge thing. It's a big, big body of water. Okay, it's a huge reservoir. Okay, it's not a swimming pool.
The distinction is the size of it.
When it gets to a certain size, right. Then it takes on the properties. Listen, the Torah doesn't say that it has to flow. The Torah says, Yamim unuchalm ha'osim. The Gemara tells us what are the properties of Yamim, what's special about Yamim unuchalm. Okay? So, let's just summarize where we are, and just finish up for where we are for today. And that is, we have these three different shittas as to how to treat the insects that grow in, that are born in the Kensico Reservoir. Three different ways. Rav Feinstein holds that those waters are considered, the insects in there are considered yam. The reservoir is yam mun cholim. It's a yam. Insects that are born in there are also. Okay? And therefore, for this part of the shaila, he says the insects are also. Rabelsky says the extreme opposite. He says the water is a bar. It's not noivim and it's not moshim, so it's a bar. It's a very big bar. He says, but a bar is a bar. It's a man-made container. If not for this wall, it wouldn't exist. It's a man-made container which has not noivim and not moshkim, and therefore insects that are born in there are mutter. Okay, so the insects. So he doesn't have to care about the other shilas because the insects in there are completely mutter. You can drink them as is. And then there are others who make a compromise who say that maybe the water is not considered noivim because there's no springs. There are essentially no springs feeding that reservoir. The water is coming in from places that are not considered to come from springs. But this is considered to be moshim because it moves around.
Maybe it comes from places that are not springs.
There are those who take the in-between shita. They say, on these two questions, there are two questions.
The original is a different springs.
The originals are springs. But they say that connection from there to here is considered a man-made connection.
So it's hard to say why. just because they made it five.
Okay. So again, there's three reasons. The Rambam says it's Yam, it comes from the container.
That's because of the local springs.
That's what he says originally. That's harder to understand. Again, we said he said it because of the local springs. Look, at the end of what he wrote, he says, and Kalasha came that now that we heard that most of the water comes from Noyum, I have a feeling he's referring to the water coming through the aqueducts. That he himself was referring to that. When he says, now that we heard that most of it comes from Noyum, what is he talking about? What he means is that water that comes through the aqueduct, that many of those upstream reservoirs are also considered Noyum. He's Kalashkin, which should be considered to be Noyum. But others don't, people say, no, it's not Noyum. But it is Varshkin. And they therefore say it has the din of halacha beis, which is charitzin and meitzin that are not noivim, but they are moshnim. They have the status of what our din is, and what's the din? What's the din? So we said is the shach paskin. It's a machlokes, and the shach paskin is shvimachin. Okay.
So they say it's moshnim either because it moves around or because it flows out into things. Because
it flows out a billion gallons a day. It's flowing out 1.2 billion. If you're curious, okay, a billion gallons a day is flowing out. So they say it's moshnim. Okay. So now. So now on this, I have to just make one point before we leave, which is like this. I told you that the din of charitz and yitzin is, the shach paskins that you should be machmir, most people follow the shach. If you look at the shach brings from an isser v'heter and a marshal, both of whom say the din is eretz asher. That's what they both say. That's correct. The Prima Golden doesn't seem to learn that the shach is saying with certainty that din is eretz asher. Prim Gavin says, what the Shach means is, Safa Deraisa Luchumma. You have a Machlokes, Rishonim, a Machlokes in the Gemara, which is a Machlokes Rishonim, which is a Achronim say like that also. So what do we do? Now again, the Marshal and the Issa V'Hetta don't say this. The Marshal and the Issa V'Hetta say, Osir. They say, that's it, it's Osir. Prim Gavin understands that what the Shach means to say is, and it's very understandable, which is, because of all these Shilas about it, we don't know what to do, Safa Deraisa Luchumma. Okay? That has a big enough meaning for us. Because that means is, and I'll say this probably a bunch of times before we get there, it's not till we get to Halacha Ches that we're going to talk about checking vegetables. We're talking about people who see bugs in front of them. Till we get to Halacha Ches, we're talking about there's a bug in front of you, is it mutter or is it aser? So we're talking about a shayla of a deraisa. Okay? The people in New York are not talking about a shayla of a deraisa. Their shayla is not, for most of them, the shayla is not, I see the bug, am I allowed to eat it or not? For most of them is, there's a meat amatsi of bugs. It's common enough that you have to check for it. And therefore, do I not have to check for it? That, for most, basically, it's a shayla of a drabanan for them. Okay, well, see, we'll get the halacha test. The amount of checking they have to do, it's not so common that it's also mitaraisa. It's common enough, mitarabanan, the mukhir to check. Okay, so even though the issa, if you would eat a bug per se, is an issa deraisa, most of the times we deal with Shaila is about insects, we're talking about a Darabbanan Shaila, which is, Midrabbanan, I'm going to find the insect in this thing. Okay, it's not so if you see the actual bug.
No, anything that's derais, originally derais, even in the by Chatechal is covered, right? If it's a Sophic, if it diminishes the derais, even the Sophic is
so I guess we're going to have to talk about that, because I keep saying this. I don't think that it qualifies for Niskago, because the person who's dealing with the Shaila, when is it for him knowing the Shaila? It is a cup of water. Okay, that's for shilas of mir amatzi, it always was once a deraisa. Every right. Kor was once a deraisa, and now it's a drabanan, and it's a rash, but we treat that as a drabanan. We don't say it used to be a deraisa. We treat it as, for me, the shilas is a drabanan. Right. For me, I picked up the piece of lettuce, I have the drabanan. I don't have to think about the deraisa of what it used to be. I have a piece of lettuce on my lettuce, it's a drabanan. Okay, it's maybe we want to talk about it, because I keep saying it. Okay, anyhow. So in Cain, there might be room to say, if you hold like this middle sheet, again, Reb David said it's awesome with the reservoir. Reb Baski said, it's completely mutter, nothing to talk about. If you hold like the middle sheet, that their reservoirs, that Charitzin and Itzin, then there might be room to say that it would be, that even though the Shach is Machmer, he's Machmer if you want to drink out of Charitzin and Itzin, or see how Halacha Gilmo, a different part of Charitzin and Itzin, but if you want to only have a Shach of a Rabbanon, then Ken Zayin, he would be Mekah. Okay, now, before I leave you, I'm going to tell you that I told you so far, we talked about the insects in the reservoir themselves. We're going to find out. I told you this, and I tell you about it now. I'm going to wait till next time. But in Halacha Gimel, we're going to talk about that there's a shayla. This only works if the insects are in the reservoir. Okay? What's going to happen when they leave the reservoir? They go out of their Makom Reviyasim, they out of their place where they're born. What's going to be the shot? What's going to be the din in that case? And we'll see that plays very much into the reservoirs. Even if the insects are mutter in the reservoir, they may not be mutter when they leave the reservoir. Okay, that's what we'll talk about then. I was going to maybe do it here, but time-wise, I'm sorry to push it for next time. And I have to remind you one more time that of there's really three possible reasons why this, the insect should be mutter. We were talking about the one that has to do with halacha aleph and beis, more with halacha beis. That's why we're talking about it now. The other ones, there are the two other serious, maybe even stronger reasons to think that it's mutter, that has to do with the size of the insects and how common they are. That's going to be for later on.
Later on this call, returning to the conference room.
I'm just saying, don't walk out and say, oh, well, I heard this, side, therefore it's also, yeah, so you have to just wait to hear. I mean, we don't live there anyhow, so we're safe.
What's the hour?